All right, welcome into Schizophrenic Music. This is Craig. Of course, I am here with Kevin.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about a topic that was thrown out by a good friend of ours, a fellow Moonlight Miler in Tom. And Tom posed this to Kevin a couple of weeks ago, and we've been thinking about it. Two different sides. What's your musical sweet spot? So what's that thing? It could be an instrument, a style of music, something like that really resonates with you immediately. And then the flip side, and I don't know who to credit this terminology for.
I'm going to take it.
I love it. But on the flip side, what's your musical kryptonite? That thing that you just hear just immediately turns you off. And so since Kevin's kind of thought about this a little bit longer, I'm going to pass this over to you. And I guess we'll start with sweet spots. What's a good sweet spot for you?
Yeah. And this is like you're saying, something that you hear and you're like, oh man, that just, I want to listen to more, or something that you hear and you know almost immediately that you are going to like it or want to keep on listening. I thought a lot or a little bit back and forth, different things. And I guess I have a lot of them but then some can be really like deep and some can be pretty broad. But I love a nice, like you hear something and it's like I'm a sucker for, and you'll notice some of my triple plays or some of the things I throw in or whatever. I'm like a blues-based rock and roll fan or whatever. Definitely. You just give me a good blues, basic blues structure with a really, really good guitar tone. For instance, like I hear like a Government Mule, like Warren Haynes play guitar, and I hear that guitar tone. It's like, oh man, that's nice.
Melts,
you know? Yeah. And a lot of the stuff is like a blues-based. And not something that's not really, really complicated. I know that's so broad. Like, I don't like everything that's rock and roll blues based, but it's like there's something that's like when it hits it, I just know. And some of these bands that I know that I've been listening to lately, like you hear it and it's like, oh man, like a, I know we're not playing samples and stuff, but like a Temperance Movement where it's like, ooh, it just hits me. It's like, okay, that's it. That's right there. It's in that style. Like it's not, it feels like it's got a feel to it, and it feels like someone's not trying too hard. It feels authentic. Everything, and some of the comments kind of hovered around authenticity as well. So it's like, for me, I hear something that I consider, at least in my mind, sounds authentic, that hits that spot and makes me want to like listen to it over and over again. I mean, some of those things, like we did on our best sub list, it was bands that I had never really heard before, or never really paid attention to, artists. And I heard it like one time and like, man,
right
there. That's it. Don't know why. That's it. You know? So I don't know if I really answered the question. I'm sure I'll elaborate.
No, absolutely. No, I think that's a great answer regarding the comments too. I'm glad you brought that up, because once again, if you haven't listened to us here previously, the last episode we kind of established on the episode, we decided, hey, let's reestablish our Facebook group. So now, instead of having a traditional Facebook page, we did a group, because the groups just get a lot more chatter. We get a lot of feedback and comments, and figure the activity is a little bit healthier. So if you go to our website, you'll see a link to that group page. It's open to the public, so just join us anytime. Feel free to chime in. But yeah, so we posed this topic of discussion to the group last night. A couple of good comments, some really good feedback there.
Gave everybody lots and lots of time, you know, about 12 hours. So
at some point we're going to be a little bit more prepared, but that's all right. It was good to get the feedback that we got, good to get the responses that we got. And you're right, the whole authenticity. One person brought up in particular that, oh, it's so challenging because it depends on my mood. And Kevin is the same, in the same boat, I know. But for me, yeah, it's definitely what's my mood now. Right. Set that aside, because you know, if I'm in the mood for jazz or if I'm in the mood for folk or blues, sometimes that's not always the case. But for me, almost all the time, I hate to waffle too much, but it's so funny that I am this way now. I mean, it's definitely a product of college for me, because I didn't grow up this way. But to me, if it falls in that power pop kind of category, it's just undeniable. If it's done right, it's not overproduced. We'll get into that a little bit later. But I'm just a sucker for it. I'm a sucker for a really good, strong melody. Doesn't have to be overly complicated. I do like a good detour here and there to where it's not overly repetitive. But right. sometimes even if it's repetitive, I just totally dig it. I say that it's kind of ironic that I am that way because right. we were just saying earlier before the podcast that, you know, growing up for me, it was hard rock and classic rock. I didn't listen to the Beatles, man. I listened to Zeppelin, AC/DC, Aerosmith, you know, right. and a little bit of Rolling Stones. I always considered myself probably in high school more of a Stones fan than a Beatles fan. That didn't start to flip until college. And so mm-hmm. I really started to get into kind of the poppier side of things and more the McCartney-esque style of writing really in college. And that's really kind of carried on with me, man. That's like, you know, Super Crush, Soda Pop.
Right.
That album, I love the fact that that was on your list too, because that album to me was just absolutely undeniable. I tried to not like it. I was like, I'm mm-hmm. listening to this so much, I'm going to just completely outplay it. Couldn't do it. Still can't do it. It's just every time it comes on, I get happy. So that is definitely a sweet spot for me.
And what do you think it is? And now we want to get really deep, but what do you think it is about what are you hearing? What's the power pop? And that's, I'm bad genre wise and I hate the broad brush and stuff, but like, what's the sound? Is it just, it's the melody, right? And the yeah. melody and how you... You know,
absolutely melody. I think a band that was instrumental in that I didn't understand early on, it was just a little too over the top, was the band Jellyfish, because okay. they were just so, you know, it's part Queen, part Beatles. And right. there's two bands that, you know, growing up, I liked the edgier mm-hmm. Queen stuff. Sure. As I started to get older, I started to really appreciate a strong harmonies. And then I go back and think about the bands that I was listening to in high school, the mm-hmm. hard rock and metal bands, oh man, those guys were totally steeped in the Beatles, totally steeped in the
stuff. Heck yeah.
I look at Enough's Enough's a prime example of they were a power pop metal band.
Right. And so, I probably didn't realize Cheap Trick was as Beatles as Cheap Trick was, or a band like that growing absolutely. Up either. You know, it's like I probably got in the Beatles around in probably high school, you know, because yep. I had a friend who had like the red and the blue.
Yep.
Albums.
That was college for me. Yep.
So I started listening to those. But yeah, but then you start thinking like, as I got into those things, like Beatles, like I love some people, I know someone who doesn't like this, but I love when even the Paul McCartney-esque writing, I love a song or an album you're listening to. And all of a sudden, and this is why albums are great, not just singles. That's another point. But you're listening to something, it's like, whoa. I heard that, like they do a callback, they come full circle and play something, you know, just like kind of like an Abbey Road type of thing. I mean, that's like a perfect, especially yep. that side is perfect. But so I start hearing, when I hear things like that, I'm like, ooh, so that's like hitting that sweet spot where it's like, I don't know. I love musicals. We talked about it, but it's almost like a musical, but a rock and roll, you know, but in rock right. and roll. Form or whatever. It's like, yep. ooh, you didn't, it just wasn't, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, outro, as much as I love that. But they like, ooh, they called back a song they played like three songs ago or the first song, the first side of the album or whatever. It's just like,
right.
things like that. Perfect.
Yep.
Doesn't always work, but hey, you know.
Same here. That I love it when I love the fact that you bring up Cheap Trick because they were like the ultimate band that straddled the lines of power pop and hard rock because they were edgy. And that's what I love about what I consider power pop is the power aspect of it. A lot of the bands I was listening to in the 90s, like Superdrag and Sloan, had an edge to them. And I loved that edge. So it was the culmination of those harmonies with just really loud guitar. Was just that to me is like the perfect combo. So, and I take that as much as anything else these days, but it's just something that it just immediately, the minute I hear it, I go, okay, I can switch gears. I'm good. Cause it right. makes me happy.
Yeah. And there's a lot of times, I guess what I notice with my sweet spots is more of a, I don't want to say a sound or it's almost, you can't put your finger on it sometimes, you know, it's yep. like,
same here.
Go back to the hard rock, heavy metal thing. I'm a child of the 80s and the heavy metal growing up, liking all the 80s metal and stuff like that. But there's mm-hmm. certain sounds even within that that I like. And so I like that traditional metal sound, whatever that sounds like, you know, because you hear a band like now, there's a lot of bands that play heavy music, but when you hear one that sounds like a Haunt, for instance, that sounds like
absolutely
that. I'm not saying it's old fashioned because it's modern, the recording, everything else, but it like, ooh, that sound that has that traditional style or sound to it, like them or a Crobot or a band that's like, ooh, this can sit right alongside what I used to listen to.
Right.
This kind of thing. Or certain things about metal, like there's a big Maiden fan, right? I don't want to be name dropping or whatever, but and from loving bass guitar, playing bass guitar, Steve Harris, just love him and everything he does within that band.
Absolutely.
But like, if you get like I think of other bands on the outside of Maiden, but that you listen to Maiden and it has like a galloping bass line. Mm-hmm. If I hear like a galloping bass line, like Steve Harris plays, that's like a sweet spot for me as well. You know, it's like, oh, just like driving. You just start. I'm like, okay.
Yep.
That makes me want to listen more.
So that's that kind of transition. I love the fact that you brought that as another sweet spot, because that's kind of a sweet spot for me. Now, I don't know if people know this, there's not a huge age difference between Kevin and I. We're pretty close in age. I mean, what, 3 years maybe?
3 years, I think.
But that 3 years makes a difference.
Does. We were talking about, I was talking about this with my daughter just
were you really? The
other day. Yeah.
It makes a difference because I think a lot, the sweet spot of hard rock and metal for me is probably more late 80s than it is mid 80s. I think it's more mid 80s for you. It's late 80s for me. Like 87, 88, 89 is like the sweet spot. Like I just posted Badlands as an album I was listening to the other day on the page. I still cannot get enough of that album because it just, and I think the reason why I like a lot of the bands of that era is, and I know you fall in this boat too, is I am a sucker for a good riff. Just a good solid riff. If they've got good leads, like I'm a huge Jakey Lee fan because of his style, because he was the perfect blend of riffs. And then when he wants to go off on a tangent and start soloing, he kind of riffs at the same time. It's just, I love it. And that's why I love Tesla so much and Tora Tora and a lot of those bands, because the riffs were just so strong and there was a pop sense there that was really strong too. Now, fast forward a couple of years and it kind of, a lot of that stuff kind of ran amok, but there was still some really good stuff being released at that time. But I just love that style. And I feel like the earlier, like I'd say 81 to 85, 86 metal was a little bit more rooted probably in 70s rock. Mm-hmm. And I dug it, but for some reason I didn't dig it as much because it wasn't quite as bold or pronounced as what was being produced in the late 80s. Okay. And I go back to it now and I go, oh man, I missed out on so many great bands, because simultaneously while I was listening to Badlands and LA Guns, and I was listening to Aerosmith's classic albums,
right?
Which all of that stuff was based off of what Aerosmith had done, you know?
Right.
Bit of a conundrum there. But what about for you as far as, and this is such a loaded question, because for Kevin and I, we listen to so much, so there's not much that we don't like.
This is true.
But do you have a kryptonite?
Like I can talk about, it's easy to talk about what you don't like, right? But I don't have, there's definitely things that I don't like. There's forms. I don't think there's like whole genres that I just say, oh, I can't stand that genre. I don't like when we do that, but I understand why people do it. And there's a picture painted in their head. It kind of goes back to the whole image thing we had last week.
Right.
But again, it boils down to kind of authenticity with me, where there's certain things that I don't, I hear something on an album and I just like, or a song, and I realize that, I love live music.
Yep.
And I want to be able to picture, and this isn't even, I don't know if it's kryptonite, but like you hear something and you're like, that can't be made, like this band could never play this live.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I know there's all electronic bands and bands that I love that could never recreate what they do on the stage. But you hear certain things and it's just like, no, that it's like if I saw this band could never do this. It's all like, it's not authentic. It's just like created, you know, and there's a sound of something for me that I, like we talk about polish and things like that. But like when you see something and you know, they could never play it live. Like even when I see somebody like a live band, like yeah. I don't know. I'll stop there and let you go. And then I'll pick it back up. But
no, I mean, I like the fact, and it's so funny because we don't stage these things. We don't have any preparation of, you know, I go, you go. We just kind of go with the flow. One of the last comments you said, one of the last words you said was polish. I just really, and I don't have a lot of kryptonite. There's not a particular genre I do not like. There's not a single genre I just don't like. There's genres I don't go to very often. I'm more concerned with how something's produced. If something to me is overproduced, you can take the same exact record, and if you put it in the wrong hands of the wrong producer, or somebody comes in and overdoes it, I'm not going to like it. And right. I think maybe it's because it doesn't sound, like you say, is authentic. It doesn't sound like, this doesn't sound like what the band was playing in the studio. It sounds like what they played glossed over and with way too much sheen. The less sheen, the better to me. We said this about Dan Auerbach. It took me a while to like Dan Auerbach's style of production.
Right.
I am more of an early, I loved early era Black Keys. Loved them because it was raw and it was just.
Right.
The newer style of Black Keys stuff and his production is very bright. What I like about it and what I like about his style of production now is it is so clean that you hear every single note, every single nuance,
right?
Which I've come to love. At first, I didn't like it because I thought, man, this is almost too clean, but it's clean in a good way. So he's kind of mastered that process of making it sound bright without taking away the essence of the music.
Right.
I cannot stand it when you strip away emotion. Then it just sounds like a formulaic band that's just like reading off of the script. Okay, we're done. Walk out.
Right. And I think that's sometimes what you know, and especially now, and I know I want to get it like on recording, but like when everyone got where you could make an album in your bedroom, which is still cool.
Very
cool. You know, but the whole Pro Tools and stuff like that happened where a lot of people are kind of moving back to like actually recording in a room with a band. And that's cool because I love certain things that you know that were recorded that way. And you go like, oh man, you like whatever, like John Bonham's squeaky bass drum pedal or whatever, and you know, or listen to Purple Rain. It was recorded live and you hear the guy in the crowd go, "Ooh!" And you can still hear, if you listen during that part, you can hear that on, I mean, like, that's cool. I like that. Yeah. They end up dubbing and overdubbing and putting all kinds of stuff on the end, but you know, that's cool. And I think that authenticity again, it's just like, let's play. And that's kind of goes back to my whole just hard rock and blues and straight ahead simplicity or whatever.
Yep.
Now I love some complex stuff as well, but yeah, it kind of boils down to like that sound. It's like the production or whatever. And then that goes to, you made me think when you start talking about it, like live, like I'm not a huge fan of live albums.
Same here.
But I love to see bands live in concert. Best way to see them. It's the easiest way for me to lose respect for a band or an artist when I notice that they're doing something, I don't know, not authentic. You know, it's like, now I know that bands have been using tapes and playing to click tracks. And I know bands do all those things live and they bolster stuff up and things like that. But there, you know, there's a few things I've gone to where it's like, you know, there was a band, and I don't want to badmouth bands, but there was a band that had four lead singers, R&B band that has four lead singers.
Right.
They lost one of the lead singers, no longer in the band. They still tour as the same band. They did not replace that fourth singer.
Right.
But when you see them live, it sounds really, really full and like, whoa, where's that? Okay, what? It's like you hear it and it's like,
yeah.
That's not all of a sudden they all sing together and it gets really, really big. And you're like, okay, something's missing.
Right.
Sound wise, but there's that fourth person's no longer there. Then why not hear that?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Or I see a band, gets me more than anything, but like bands that just don't even try to hide it. But I saw another artist where they were playing and a sax solo kicked in. And I'm looking.
Where's the saxophone?
There's no sax player on the stage. So they just like, it was pre-recorded and they just went with it. And
they
like,
didn't.
I mean, they weren't hiding that. I'm just like, oh.
They're not one for attention to detail.
get a real band and play the whole, like, then you start questioning, like, well, who else isn't playing? You know, if like, what are we just, you know, yep. What's going on? But then in the same aspect, there's bands that I love, like, it doesn't go along with what you'd probably think, but I love the Pet Shop Boys, right? Now, Pet Shop Boys only have, there's basically one dude playing and one guy singing, right? In all that. Actuality, but so he's doing everything, so it's all programmed and nothing, but that's what it is, that's what I know it is, that's what it's supposed to be,
right?
They're not pulling any tricks on me, you know. Yep. So but when you like hear something, that's why I can't even stand going to like the Mexican restaurant. I'm gonna probably offend every, because I love all everybody that's going out and playing live and trying to make money playing at restaurants and bars and everything else.
Yep, you're right.
But I'd rather you just play the acoustic guitar and sing than loop everything and play your own, play to backing tracks. Because you start playing and then you loop it and they play. I know that technology is great, that you can do that.
Yep.
It's wonderful. I'd rather just hear one dude play acoustic guitar and sing along to that one acoustic guitar than have a drum track going.
Totally.
And then hit a button and the bass goes. So that means you're playing everything at the same speed and the authenticity goes away. You know, it's like, so
totally
I
agree.
That kind of stuff gets me. And that's right. That's when I start. That's my kryptonite. It's like, all right. You know, it's like, I appreciate the talent. Give me a good bar band that's playing raw and aggressive, and I'm all over it.
You know, I get it. That's always been my beef about going to any beach bar in Florida, and it's, God, mm-hmm. If I hear one more guy doing click track to Jimmy Buffett, I'm going to puke. You know, it's just right. The same crap over and over. So
I'd rather hear Jimmy Buffett without the track. Really, really.
Right.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. I love it.
But I think for me, another kryptonite, and it's really the only thing that I would say immediately just go, nope. And that's auto-tune.
Yep.
I get it. I understand the premise of it. It's just, it's run amok. It just has. I mean, yeah. It's just over the top. And there was an album that was released last year that was close, very close to being one of my top albums. And I still love the album. But the very first song she sings almost entirely in auto-tune, and it's, you get towards the end of it and you hear a little bit more, I hate to say, a little bit more edge, and then the rest of the album is awesome. She doesn't do that one other time. So I'm not going to tell you who it is. I don't want to knock anybody. I don't want to knock somebody's creativity if they want to.
Right.
Another artist that really has started using that on a regular basis, and I respect his music. I respect him as an artist. He's highly regarded as a Bonavir. He did an entire album that was almost all sang in auto-tune. I just couldn't get past it.
Right.
I know there's creativity there, and I know there's a ton of talent. It's just not something I particularly like.
It's a sound that gets me. Like, there was certain, like, after a while, like, my favorite artist of all time used auto-tune in, like, the first track off the second to last album, whatever. Alice used auto-tune in the first song of Welcome to My Nightmare.
Yeah.
The second, you're like, but it's like, it's okay. And that was the one he used it there. And that's like, it's almost like it was, you knew it was being used. You know, I'm like, okay. Cause I know what he really sounds like. And, you know, it's like, okay, cool. One track, that's fine. But when a band's using it all the time, or it's just even like, you know, like Bonavir can sing and
absolutely, do everything. Yeah. You got a great voice.
After a while, it's like, okay, I don't want to hear that. It's just like that sound. I know T-Pain got all kinds of flack, and there's even a special about it where he can actually sing. You know, he's really, really good.
Yeah.
Without it. You know, but it got to be where people think it's, that goes back to the authenticity thing where like, what are you doing there? How much are you fixing yourself? You know, that type of thing. But
yeah, I see it in a creative, I mean, he did it in a very creative manner. And I know a lot of artists that do it in a creative, that, like you said, T-Pain probably doesn't need it, right? Nobody knew he didn't need it, right? That's the sad part. You know, we knew Bonavir didn't need it. The first album proved that. The EP prior to that proved that. So, and I'm not knocking it. A lot of people love that album. It's not bad. It's just, man, after a while,
it wears on me.
That album from last year, I love that album. Every time I hear that track, and it's the first track too. So that's, and that goes back to timing too. That's a thing I've noticed about comments on some of the people that have commented on just a topic today of, you know, what's your sweet spot, what's your kryptonite. And some people have said some of their kryptonites, and Kevin and I, we're not going to point anybody out. That's not what this is about, but we had a discussion prior to kind of hitting record today. And I think we've determined, and we've said this before, we probably even had a podcast about it, about timing,
right?
When you listen to something, is there any kryptonite you can think of that is a long lingering kryptonite? Because at the time when you heard something, you just didn't like it. And even to this day, you can't get past it.
See, that's, I thought about that. And it was like, there's not a lot with that, because there's bands that I absolutely positively hated or did not, would not like, because I could not and should not Dr. Seuss like. But, you know, like I said, growing up and you're listening to all your friends listen to rock and roll, straight ahead rock and roll, hard rock, whatever. And then band like Culture Club comes along that's against everything that I liked. Like, I thought that was terrible. I could not stand that. It was like, you know, I was all about guitar, bass, rock and roll. And then like Culture Club came around, or at the time, Wham, you know, like that. I'm totally dating myself, right? But like that type of thing. Or at the time, you know, like Depeche Mode, that was not my scene.
Right.
Since then, I'm not saying I'm the, you know, I respect all that.
Right.
You know, some of the bands are really, like I just mentioned, I love Pet Shop Boys. That doesn't make any sense. Right. But, you know, so I like, I can, now it's like I've gone past them. Like, now I can appreciate, you know, I don't know, you went to college and my mind opened or something, but you know, like that. But there's still some of that I'm never going to think, some of it, I'm never going to think it's as wonderful as maybe the rest of the world does. I don't know. And not those bands. There's two bands that I always call out as like not getting at the time, and I respect the hell out of them, but I don't think they're like life-changing bands.
Right.
But so I hold on to certain things like that, but it's hard for me to name anything that like is lingering. I just cannot stand.
Right.
I guess, you know, there's certain things that I don't hate it, but it's like, someone that tries to play the novelty too much. I don't know, like just songs that are supposed to be funny, and then they just, after a while, they just wear on me, and I can't.
I feel the same way. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that, well, for one, there's not too many things that I kind of hold on to. There was one I just noticed this past weekend. So a friend of mine are hanging out, and he said, "Let's just jam." And I go, "Dude, I'm not a great person to jam with because I can't read music. I play by ear, and I don't cover anything." Right. I'm horrible to jam with, let's just say that. And so he's got this elaborate setup of, and he's doing tab, because this is cheating. I go, I know tab is cheating, but whatever. So we got tabs up of all these songs, and he's got this program that'll layer the song in, and it scrolls right down. It's really cool. So we start, I said, well, let's just go with some basic stuff. So we're playing some like Joe Strummer. That's what brought me back to Joe Strummer. I said, man, I haven't listened to the Joe Strummer and the Mescalero stuff in forever. God, this is great. He's a big fan. But he's like, oh, let's try this. And he throws on a White Stripes song. And I'm going to say, I absolutely hated this song when it was released. And can't say that I liked it really up until this weekend, but I have a strong appreciation for it now. And that's Icky Thump. I hated Icky Thump. I just thought it was pure noise.
Right.
And I've always liked him. I've always really respected Jack, because Jack does his thing. He does not give a shit. The public thinks he's just going to play his style of music. He's just a true rock and roll guy. But I had so much fun playing it.
Right.
I just felt, you know, but that was something I will say I held a grudge on, because when it came out, I was like, man, people just love this song. And this is the worst single. There's so many other great songs on this album. And now I listen to it, I'm like, oh, that's a great song. It's, you know, it's still got its annoying points.
There's songs that I can't stand by bands that I liked and stuff like that I still think are terrible songs, but I don't know, I have a hard time thinking of them right now. But there's certain, like, okay, not I'm a huge fan, but now you mentioned like Icky Thump, but I cannot stand 1979 by
Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
I hate that little, whatever that God, I can't stand. I hate it. I just don't know what about that song. And I still don't like it. And I love other Smashing Pumpkins, but just hate that.
Well, there's certain things that are going to grate on you. When I was working in stores, I can't remember when it was or what store I was at, but one of the guys that worked for me, one of the employees there, was like, "Can you please turn this off? I hate this guy." And I go, "I'm sorry, I'm going to finish the album." And by the end of the album, and it's so funny because the album ended as his friend picked him up. So he had to listen to the whole thing. And he walked out and he mimicked the lead singer, and it was driving and crying. He cannot stand Kevin Kinney's voice.
He's nasally. I can understand.
I got it too. But I just remember him walking out. He was so mad. There are certain things that are going to grate on you. It could be, it could be a moment. I mean, one of my favorite artists, and he doesn't play a whole lot now. He was touring with Beck forever, but Jason Faulkner, Jason Faulkner. But when that Grays single was released off of Rochambeau, when the single was released off that, I did not like it. I do not know what they're doing with the vocals here, but I don't like it.
Right.
Because it was released at a time when I was into, kind of heavier things. And fast forward 2 years and I go, "Oh my God, this is amazing." Timing. I think timing has everything. And I think there's some people that can't get past that time when they necessarily first heard it and didn't like it. And just forever to this point, one song, one note, something just will never resonate with them.
Right. I think, like I said, it's a lot of it's timing, and things happen maybe it was the next movement that you didn't make the move to because it flew in the face of what you liked at the time, or it just was a little bit different for some reason. Like people from the 70s didn't get into 80s metal, and people that 80s metal didn't get into the new metal, and people that, didn't go to the next thing, next whatever. Or some people have a hard time with, they grew up with straight ahead, rock and roll, and they can't understand sampling. They don't like, a lot of people hate sampling. They can't you hear people say, "Oh, it's not writing," or that, "You didn't write that," or what. It's like, yeah, but listen to that, or don't like DJs or things, there's things like that. It's just like it goes against what you grew up loving or what you liked at the time. A lot of it's, I guess, when you were forming your, those formative years, I guess you want to say.
Right.
And sometimes didn't. I know I have friends from high school and things that didn't, they listen to the same stuff, which is great, but, never went to the next movement. And some of the stuff that went against that was like, "Oh, that's, can't do it. That's that's like kryptonite or whatever." So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I think our kryptonite's pretty limited. I think for us, it's more, we can get over it pretty quickly. And there's certain things, like for me, it's not necessarily a lot of time an artist or a genre kryptonite. A lot of times it's just how it's done. Right. I'm not a big live album guy at all. I've always said, man, I don't own hardly any live albums. There are some exceptions where I can kind of feel the intensity of the audience or whatnot, but I will say I love the live feel. I love the fact that bands are starting to get back in the studio and record in a room, and where there's the three of the four of however many people all just kind of like jamming and just hitting record. Cause what you hear a lot of times, that just overproduction, to me, it just takes away kind of the soul of the music, the heart of the music sometimes. So that's the only kryptonite I can really think is, the music's really good here, but it's just so overdone.
Right. I just want, and it's like, you can't always pinpoint it. You're not always right or whatever. I don't want to say, it goes to this authenticity, right? It's like, this sounds authentic. Even like I hear like something that's like a bluegrass band.
Yes.
And it sounds just, that is just, that he can play, that they can play. It's just real. That's why I like traditional country more than some of the polished, overproduced country that might be going on right now. Give me a Merle Haggard any day, because it's just like, it just is what it is, And then, if something's like, you just don't like things that seem like they were created, they're a product rather than, somebody blood, sweat, and tears or whatever, you know, like it's a more of a, it's produced like, ooh, let's put this together and it'll be a hit rather than, you know, this band's been playing for years or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Stuff like
that. Seems to me like that transitions to a whole nother topic, especially because of the style of music that Kevin and I like a lot. But I think that might be one reason why supergroups just don't work.
Right.
Ah, supergroups. They haven't been playing together as long. And so it's kind of hard for, you know, the guitarist of this band, the bassist of this band, the vocalist of this band to kind of connect together and have the same rapport and connection that they have with their quote unquote proper bands.
And it goes into another thing about like maybe band's sophomore album compared to their debut song, that, you know, whatever. And then you get like, ooh, I had to write this in 3 months instead of the songs we've been playing for 4 years or whatever. I don't know.
But yeah, anyway. No, I like it. I like it.
We're not opening up new things. Maybe we'll cut that out. But
No. In fact, I think we tossed those couple of those topics out to the group and see what they say. We're honestly going to try to get our Facebook group and just people in general more integrated with what we do. So we'll throw the
And posting it, it's like I said, it's totally open and public.
Yep.
You got something you want to talk about? Bring it up. We'll go with it. And pay attention. We've been throwing some things out there, having some fun with some albums of the day and cassettes of the day and things like that. I mean, hey, it's just fun stuff. But
love it. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening in. As always, we really appreciate your support. Wherever you do listen in, we got to say, give us a like, follow, a share. If you can subscribe, that's perfect. It's going to let you know when the next episode comes up. And Kevin, got anything else?
No, like I said, visit all the social discussion group. We want to get more and more people talking. Please go to the Facebook discussion group. Go also Instagram, Twitter. Let us know what you think. Yep. Love to hear from you.
All right. Well, once again, thanks so much. And until next time, take care.
All right. Take it easy.